Good morning, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason and independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, January 24, 2008. It's at about 6:31 Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. To do this, we really must do this. We really must do this. We need to be revolutionaries in thought. We need to be dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. And now, on to our program. Good morning, everyone. We have a lot of things to cover this morning and a potpourri of things, but I think they all fit together into one very neat package. And that package is our federal government and what it is doing to our rights, stripping us of what inalienable rights we have, stripping us of our freedoms and our liberties. I just want to check everything out here to make sure we're running properly first. Just give me a second. Okay, very good. I'd like to start off with a quote from a Gil Bailey. Violence is shrouded in justifying myths that lend it moral legitimacy, and these myths, for the most part, kept people from recognizing the violence for what it is, was rather. The people who burned witches at the stake never for one moment thought of their act as violence. Rather, they thought of it as an act of divinely mandated righteousness. The same can be said of most of the violence we humans have ever committed. Folks, that applies to our war in Iraq. And here's another one. Edmund Burke. The hottest fires in hell are reserved for those who remain neutral in times of moral crisis. Those two statements apply to every American today. Both of those statements I read from the Information Clearinghouse January 21st news online newsletter. This is a newsletter that I do recommend that you subscribe to and, more importantly, financially support. They cannot do it for nothing, folks. All right. It doesn't have to be a lot. It can be a little bit. It can be $5, $10, $15 every once in a while to keep them going. They do summarize the news around the world very succinctly. And basically, their subheading is, you know, news you won't find on CNN. And thank heavens, because, you know, I think I've heard enough about Britney Spears on CNN. And we don't need any more of that. Talks about government lies. Now, this is interesting. This falls so beautifully in line with those statements I've just made. Here is something from USA Today. There was a study, counted 935 false statements in a two-year period by the Bush administration. It found that in speeches, briefings, interviews, and other venues, Bush and the administration officials stated unequivocally on at least 532 occasions that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction or was trying to produce or obtain them or had links to al-Qaeda or both. Now, in quotes, it says, "It is now beyond dispute that Iraq did not possess any weapons of mass destruction or have meaningful ties to al-Qaeda." This is according to Charles Lewis and Mark Reading Smith of the Fund for Independence in Journalism and their staff members. And here it shows that Dick Cheney was Condoleezza Rice, Secretary of Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of State Colin Powell, Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz, and the White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer and Scott McClellan all participated in this. Bush led the group with 259 false statements. Colin Powell, surprisingly, 244. You would expect better from him, at least, and I guess that's why he resigned. Right, folks, we are, and I this is my mantra. You know, we go to government schools. Government schools direct our minds how to think. Last night, I was with a group of very young people. I felt not out of place, believe it or not, but age-wise, I was out of place. I must have been 40 years older than the oldest person there. And let me tell you this, this was absolutely refreshing. It was a group that's putting together through an organization called AUM International. And I had the gentleman who was the sort of the founder of that group, Cameron Ashgar, on my radio station a few weeks ago. And he talked about how he is attempting to get people of artists, all different types of art, together and in some sort of synergistic way to exploit, so they can exploit their own talents. And it's a very, very interesting concept. Very difficult for me to grasp being a businessman, because I'm a nuts and bolts person. And when I think of, you know, artsy stuff, you know, and you know, it's I need pencil and paper. I need to write it down. But it was very interesting. I mean, here are these young people filled with hope, looking at ways that they can develop and exploit their talents and how they can incorporate other people in doing so. You know, that embraces, I mean, not only does that embrace a fresh thinking, it's refreshing to be there. I totally, totally enjoyed it. I think I was the wet blanket of the group because I kept on asking questions. I think they sort of understood what they were doing. I didn't. I mean, I did in a way, but not as well as they did. So I kept on asking sort of the brick and mortar concrete questions. It was fun. I hope they have me back, and I hope they're not too upset with me for asking too many questions. Like, what is the mission of this thing? You know, can you outline this in 15 words or less? And what specifically are your objectives? And it you know, it's interesting when you've been running businesses, and this is what you need to do, because if you don't have a very firm foundation, you're not going anywhere. Just like our government and our whole monetary system has no firm foundation. Anyway, but this it was so interesting being with them. And this one gal, two young ladies that are starting a newspaper. And I think that's fabulous, FM Magazine. And I'm just so anxious to see that started. And I would be more than happy to promote her magazine here in Tulsa. And I do wish them luck. They're very, very lovely young ladies. And it's just interesting to see what they have in those papers and what niche that they carve out for themselves. I think that's absolutely exciting. I find it so much more invigorating to be with people such as them than I do, you know, people who are so set in their thinking. And this is my segue, folks, into our voting situation. There's an article. Let's see if I have this one. I have too many articles on my. Here it is. There is an article written by George Leaf. George Leaf. And he summarized a book, The Myth of the Rational Voter, Why Democracies Choose Bad Policies. And that book is written by Brian Kaplan, Princeton University Press, 2007. It has 276-page book, costs $29.95. I do recommend it. I just read the summary. I think it's a fascinating book. And he touched on why voters are so irrational. Fascinating, fascinating book. I want to summarize a few things because this would have been a perfect segue for last Sunday's broadcast. When you notice a quite short hesitation or so, it's because I'm taking a swig of coffee this early in the morning to keep myself going. Okay, but he talks about that the voter and it takes a different bent than I did. I said that the voters in America are primarily ignorant of what is going on. They're misinformed. They watch too much damn TV. They are, for the most part, uneducated in those areas that they should have some good education. And I fault, obviously, the government schools, which remind me, I want to go back to that. Oh, by the way, please call in 646-652-4620 this morning. And please participate. If there's anyone up this early in the morning, please do so. 646-652-4620. And I said, and then there's a large group, whatever that is, just plain stupid. And I define stupid as people who have the information available, but ignore it and just go on whatever belief system they have that, you know, well, the Democrats are good, the Republicans are bad, that type of thing, or vice versa. And they model their entire life around these false beliefs that they have. That's stupidity, folks. And I'm not talking about the people who are mentally retarded. Please don't go there with me. Okay, don't go there. I'm not going there. So you're not going there with me. But what he does is he says, well, these voters, he says, have an anti-market prejudice, an anti-foreign prejudice, a make-work bias, and a pessimistic bias. And very briefly, what he says is this. He says, for example, the anti-market prejudice, he says, there's widespread appeal of government health care programs, you know, and it appeals to people. But see, I go back that people are uneducated, ignorant, and they're lazy, basically. You know, they will not look into things and find out what the real source of information, where it comes from, and how valid it is. They won't take out the time. They rely on their representatives, who are the ones that are really benefiting by all of this. But they rely on that. And so that ties in very well. The anti-foreign prejudice, well, you know, I've done many programs on immigration, and I've called basically all of them. Illegal immigration is a solution looking for a problem. I have no problem with illegal immigration, absolutely none whatsoever. We trade goods and services. We can trade people as well. We need these people. They're hardworking. I know many of them in my business. I meet these people. I know who they are. You know, I don't report them, and I, quite frankly, I get along with them very, very well, and they will make very, very good citizens of the United States. And without them, we would sink our economy, folks. All right? You could not go to the store and buy a darn thing without these illegal immigrants working the way they do. I mean, God bless them. They are phenomenal people. Now, a lot of bad apples, just like anything else. I agree with you. And it says, in this article, he says, no American worries about trade deficits from state to state. When politicians start yammering about our trade deficit with China, many voters react with alarm. The political language about foreign trade and immigration is the language of warfare rather than peaceful commercial activity. Absolutely right. We always look at that, instead of saying, hey, this is commercially viable for us, we say, this is an invasion of the illegals. We have the wrong attitude. We have the wrong attitude because it makes good press. And he goes on to say that we have a pessimistic bias. That means we like bad news a lot better than we like good news. And he says we make work bias we have also. And in other words, where economists see the opportunity to produce more goods and services with less manpower, non-economists usually fret about the destruction of jobs, you know. Anyway, excellent book, Myth of the Rational Voter, Why Democracies Choose Bad Policies by Brian Kaplan, Princeton University Press, $29.95. Recommend that you read it, folks, and become educated. I want to go back to, I do want to mention that we are going through increasingly financial tumultuous times, and as you know, the Dow dove and then rebounded something like 672 points yesterday. We believe that may have been the largest swing in history. Folks, we are in a financial crisis. This is bad. Anyone listening to this program should also be listening to Andy Sutton in My Two Cents. You can listen to his commentary on blogtalkradio.com/my2cents, or you can subscribe to his newsletter. Just go to my2centsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two, so it's my numeric 2centsonline.com. Andy is very succinct, and he outlines what is going on, and he explains why it's going on and how things work. They're relatively short newsletters, a page or two. Sit down, carve time out of your day, and read what Andy has to say. He is very well educated in the economics and financial area. He actually has given up his job to do this full time. He has a calling for this. He's very honest, and he calls it the way it is. I get his newsletter a couple of times a month, and I just can't wait. And please do subscribe to his newsletter. It's very inexpensive, like $49 a year or something like that. And it's very well worth it. You need to protect yourself. I've noticed that gold this morning, gold futures are almost up to $900 an ounce again. Since the sell-off of everyone selling everything in their possession to cover their shorts and cover their behinds and everything else with the stock market's downturn, gold and silver is starting to go up again. It would not surprise me if we see $1,000 gold very soon. If, in fact, folks, listen carefully, if, in fact, people start saying, geez, I need to have a store of value. The U.S. dollar is not doing it for me. My bonds aren't worth crap anymore. In fact, they're going down in value. You know, the stock market, we don't know where that is going. And even a very, very small portion of investors decide that they need a little bit of gold and silver as a hedge against these fiat currencies around the world. Gold will be in the thousands of dollars per ounce in no time flat. Folks, that means your dollar is going to be devalued and continue to be devalued. Now, we're going to talk about that for a second. I wanted to tie something else in, and I forgot what it was. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, yeah. The Bush, yeah, so do go to my2centsonline.com. His name is Andy Sutton. Wonderful person. You can call him and he'll answer the phone and even speak to you. The stimulus package in order to get us out. Folks, you know, I've got to be either awfully brilliant or awfully stupid or somewhere, not anywhere in between, because I just don't understand anything our federal government does. Absolutely nothing. And this is supposed to be the main thrust of our program this morning. Please call in 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. This is Liberty Talk Radio. It's Thursday, January 24th. It's now about 11 minutes to 7. We got about 11 minutes to go on this program. And we're talking right now about the government stimulus package. This is what we're going to start on. Now, the government wants to give everyone $800. Now, this reminds me of the minimum wage, because the government says, well, everyone should make at least, and many Democrats now saying $9 an hour. Well, they are interfering with the economic activity of the natural economic activity that what Adam Smith called the invisible hand that makes everyone wealthy. When there's a freedom for people to make decisions in the economic in life every day, everything we do is an economic activity, and the government wants to come in and interrupt that and artificially set certain parameters. Well, you know, as I said in a previous broadcast, why $9 an hour? Why not 20? I mean, why not make $25 an hour? Everyone will have plenty of money, and then we would have no more problems because they have plenty of money to spend. Spending more money would mean that there's more economic activity, there'd be more tax revenue. Every problem we have has been solved. We should have a minimum wage of $25 an hour. Now, anyone listening to this would say, this guy's just lost his nut. He's lost his mind. Well, absolutely, I've lost my mind. Well, for the same reason, if $25 is incomprehensible, so should $9. You know, it's not whether it's an insane policy, it's the level of insanity that you're at. Now, the same thing goes for the $800 that the government wants to give every taxpayer. Now, at first, they said every taxpayer. And then they look back, they say, well, there are many people that don't pay any taxes at all, and they won't get anything. Well, then those socialists, the collectivists on the other side of the aisle said, hey, wait a minute, what about these people who don't pay taxes? They're not going to get anything. Well, if it's a tax rebate, you're right, they don't get anything because they didn't pay anything in. They say, not fair. So now they're modifying it so that every citizen, not taxpayer, gets $800. Well, my question is the same question I had about the minimum wage. I'm going to take a swig of coffee. And that is, why $800? Because that amounts to 1% of GDP? Well, if 1% of GDP is good, wouldn't 2% be better? How about 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, $10,000 a person? Now, people would say, wait a minute, that's much too much. Why? Why is $10,000 too much? Well, in order to answer that question, you have to understand what happens where the $10,000 came from or where the $800 came from. The $800, as one economist said on television the other day, it was very apt, he says, $800. The government doesn't have $800. They have no store. Now, if they took the gold out of Fort Knox and they cut it up and they gave everyone a piece of gold, that would be one thing, and that would be a good thing. That would be taking money that belongs in the hands of the people and taking it out of the government and divorcing the government from the monetary system. That would be very good. Government doesn't want to do that. They want to give us $800 that they don't have. And the government can only get money three ways. It can tax you. It can borrow it, and it's going to borrow it from the future generations. Or it can inflate the money supply. Thus, what they do is they decrease the value of your money, and they give you more of it. Now, just think about that. What they're going to do is they're going to either tax you, borrow it, right? And both are bad. Both come from you. Tax you, right? Or borrow it, which means they're going to it's like getting a loan. You get the money now, but you got to pay it back, you know? Or they just print it up as they normally do. That inflates the money supply, and basically, which is debt, government debt. It's a Federal Reserve note of which you paid through inflation. So you get $800 more, but yet your dollar buys $800 less during the year. Folks, you know, this on two sides of every ledger, there's a debit and there's a credit, and it always has to balance. No matter what government, no matter how powerful the government is, you cannot break those laws. Those are basically natural laws of accounting, if you will. If you have a debit, you're going to have a credit. Someone's got to pay for it, or someone's got to work for it, and the government doesn't work for it. Folks, you cannot have a government bailout. A government bailout means the government is absolutely desperate. They will not say that. They're saying, well, they're temporarily trying to give people some assistance. The homeowners of the subprime debacle, they want to help out. No, they're not helping out the homeowners. They are shoring up the banks because the banks, and they use the word illiquid, the banks are insolvent. My money is out of the banking system for the most part. I just have enough in there to transact day-to-day stuff. Of all my portfolios, I'd say less than 1/5 of 1% is in cash these days. Well, this is the problem. I'm in a relatively good cash position. I have money, and I'll be first to admit, I'm not a multi-millionaire, but I have plenty of money. I have no problems. But most people don't have money in the bank because they're overextended. So not only don't we have money in the banks, and the banks are illiquid, and the loans they have on the books are no good, but the people who owe them even money on credit cards cannot pay them. The banks are insolvent, and they created this problem. This didn't come about by accident. This was very well orchestrated. They just wish they could have played the game a lot longer and made a lot more money. and it's all at the expense of the borrower. It'll be at your, yes, someone will say, well, this guy got away with a house. This guy, you know, doesn't have to pay as much on his mortgage, blah, blah, blah. We are all going to pay through the price of inflation. They will tax us more, and we're going to get all three ways. We're going to be taxed more in the future for it, because they're going to say, well, we have a crisis. We need to tax you. We have no choice, right? They're going to have to borrow more money to keep things afloat, of which we're going to be paying in the future, and they're going to inflate the money supply like crazy, which means that your purchasing power will go down, and that's an indirect tax. A fellow called me last Sunday. He said, what would I do? I said, well, I would get out of all dollar-denominated assets. I would not have treasury bills. I would not have anything like a bond that's based on treasury bills at all. I wouldn't have bonds at all at this point in time. Bonds are the most worthless thing to have. Anything that's static and just gives you a fixed set of interest, not good enough, folks, you know. Because if gold goes from, if the dollar continues to tank, and together with world currencies, all the world currencies are tanking. We're just tanking faster. Understand that. So I would stay away from any fiat currency. You know, with gold skyrocketing, guess where you put your money? You put your money where it's going up, where it increases in value. And right now, silver is a phenomenal buy. It's about $16 an ounce. I'll bet within a year, and I wish somebody was listening to me right now. I don't have any callers, but maybe in 1 year, it'll be $50 an ounce. You can imagine if you just more than tripled your money in 1 year. But yet, if you kept it in dollars, it would go down 10, 20, or 30%. Isn't that scary? See, the government cannot bail us out. They cannot bail out the banks. They can only tax us and make us poorer. And by doing so, by having more legislation on our money, what they do is they enslave us even more. This is a method in which we lose our liberties. We don't gain. Even if the government gave us all a $10,000 check, we would be become the slaves to the master. This is not a pretty picture. Now, I read in an article just now, it said that people like pessimistic news. Of course, pessimistic news sells. Well, I don't know how you paint a rosy picture around about this. I am saying the sky is falling, and I don't know how you say, no, the sky is not falling. It's falling, folks, and it's the first time that I can say that without feeling that I'm a conspiracy nut or something like that. Well, you know where I stand. You know what you have to do. You know, if you do have any comments, please send them to comments@libertytalkradio.com. And boy, it is almost 7 o'clock already, and this is the end of this morning's program. We may have an interview on Sunday evening. Don't know who it's going to be yet, but it may be something on a totally different vein. So stay tuned, look at our blog, and keep track of what we're doing, okay? This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, folks, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, and that'll be Sunday evening at 8 o'clock, stay well, stay tuned.